Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Back to life. Back to reality.
Back to life. Back to reality. Yes! So it is. It is! The 8 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on WQAM. Streaming at WQAM.com, radio.com, or the radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. Hey, 560 WQAM presents the Riptide Music Festival, powered by Ford, on Fort Lauderdale Beach, November 30th through December 2nd. This year's Bash features 311, Sublime with Rome, a reunion of the Jacksons. Hawkman's excited for that, as am I, actually. Sheila E. and more. Stop by the Yuengling Twin Peaks Sports Bar, showing college and NFL football all weekend. Riptide Music Festival, powered by Ford, sponsored by Rip It Energy Fuel, Goya Foods, and Botron Rum. Please drink responsibly. And Nova Southeastern University. Get your tickets and more info at WQAM.com. In fact, we have a pair of tickets to Riptide to give away. If you are caller number 5 to the contest line right now, 1-800-227-0560. Call now to win a pair of one-day tickets to Riptide Music Festival, powered by Ford on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Caller number 5 to 1-800-227-0560 wins a pair of one-day passes to Riptide. How good is that, man? And that's going to be a fun festival. I want to be with Hawkman watching that Jackson's reunion, because I know that he is going to go crazy for that. He loves that. I can't wait to watch 311 and Sublime. That's more my wheelhouse. You know, we're still yet to track down Ira Winderman, which is very odd, because he is pound for pound the most consistent and organized guest on this radio station. Like, to take you behind the curtain, Ira Winderman is the only guest that's ever been a part of my show that will, because he's got, you know, he comes on every show once a week, and like, he will actually reach out to me before I get a chance to reach out to him to set his schedule. So he's so organized, he essentially books himself, which is great, because it takes a lot of pressure off of me to figure out the day and time. Ira books himself. So the fact that we are unable to track down Ira Winderman, I'm going to tell you what I think is happening here, Solana. He might be breaking some news, or he may be delving into breaking news. And I'm thinking maybe that has something to do with one Dwayne Wade.
Mr. Number 3?
I mean, I'm just spitballing here. I have not received any sort of confirmation. We can't even get Ira to text us back. But the fact that we haven't heard from the most organized guest on this station, because sometimes, listen, you've heard it on Hawkman's show, like Falero, when he tries to book somebody, he's batting like 300. Like, sometimes you'll book a guest, they don't pick up the phone, you can't find them. That has never happened with Ira Winderman. So with Ira Winderman being conspicuously absent, I'm thinking there's got to be something newsworthy going on. So I'm going to have my Twitter timeline open to heat coverage. I'm going to be having, I will have Ira's Twitter page open in case something may break here. Because what, it's been almost a week since Udonis Haslam committed to coming back, and they got his one-year deal done. I think that was last Wednesday or Thursday, and we're still waiting on Wade. So I think we're either going to find out, A, he's coming back to the Miami Heat, or B, maybe China swooped back in with it. Nah, not really. He said he's not going to China, but... wouldn't that be funny, though?
I think that's what I was doing. He's translating the Chinese contract of Dwayne
Wade
for the Sun Sentinel readers.
Because I'll tell you, Google Translator does not work that well for Chinese. Like, everything's always out of context. The sentence structure is very difficult.
I mean, how often are you translating Mandarin, Dono.
Tweets, man. You follow the transfer market in soccer. You see a tweet like, right. Dude, yeah. you should have seen me about a month and a half ago when I'm following the Luka Modric saga. Is Modric going to sign with Inter? He's still being held hostage by Florentino Perez in Real Madrid. But if I found a tweet in Chinese that came up in a Modric search, you better believe I'm Google translating that son bitch. And it never made any sense on the other end of that translator. But you do what you got to do, man. You do what you got to do. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Chris in the Pines. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Donald. You know, I was thinking about all these players that left in the offseason that were saying that they were going to be better off now than the Dolphins. But Landry didn't do so hot yesterday. I mean,
no.
It was a moral victory for the Browns. But
yeah, I think for a team that went 0-16 last year and hasn't won a season opener since 2004, I would say tying the Steelers, you're right, that's a moral victory.
Josh Gordon, who was not in camp all year, had a better game than than Landry did yesterday. And then the Chargers, you know, Pouncey said he was glad to go to a team that had a chance to win, and they got right. scored yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah, and that team has no fans either. Like, okay, you could rip Dolphin fans if you want to. Oh, it's South Florida, they're not hardcore enough. The Los Angeles Chargers literally have no fans because the people in San Diego are bitter that they left. They're not driving 2.5 hours to see that team play. They're still angry about the team leaving in the first place. And the people in Los Angeles are entrenched with the Rams. That was their team decades ago. They came back. They're focusing on the Rams. They don't care about the Chargers. They can't even fill up the stadium that Zlatan Ibrahimovic can fill up now. They play in that same stadium as the Galaxy. They can't fill it up. The Galaxy can.
Yeah, they didn't even have like 20,000 people in there yesterday for an NFL game.
Pathetic.
It's disgusting. Plus, now we'll see what Sue does tonight. But all the moves in the offseason that everybody was freaking out about that the Dolphins GMs made, everyone was like, you know, so far they've all been good. Minka Fitzpatrick had an unbelievable game yesterday as a rookie for a first, you know, NFL full game.
Yeah,
I mean he stopped the guy yesterday who was going for the first down.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I hadn't brought up that play today. I'm so glad you did because
he saved
the touchdown on that fourth down play. That was one of the plays of the football game. Considering how close the game was. 7-point victory, that was huge.
Yeah, but then here's the one thing I don't understand what the Dolphins are doing. Why do we still have four quarterbacks on the roster? And two of them were in holding up a 52 spots on the 53-man roster, just to leave him as inactive. I don't understand. Gase said our backup quarterback was on the team.
Yeah.
He never committed to one of Fales or Osweiler, and then he brought in Falk. And now we got four guys on a 53-man roster.
Yeah, the thing, like, I wasn't surprised that they kept both Osweiler and Fales, but I was surprised that they added Falk because, you know, I can understand you want to have three bodies for practice, and you didn't have – none of those guys had practice squad eligibility. So I could understand keeping Fales and Osweiler. Adding Falk was a little bit surprising to me. I don't think, to me, like, the more I think about it, having three quarterbacks taking up spots on the 53, it's probably not as big of a deal as I would have thought it was a couple of months ago. My concern is I don't think either Osweiler or Fales are very good. I think that's my bigger concern than still having both of them on the roster. It's the fact that I wouldn't trust either of those guys to win a game.
Is Falk better than them too?
I don't think so. They might be stashing him just in case they can develop him into something, but he's certainly not better than either of them right now.
I said to cut ties with at least one of them and bring in another linebacker or something who could play special teams and fill a need in a position.
Well, my answer to that would be if they felt like they could get a linebacker right now that would be better than one of those quarterbacks, they would make that change in a heartbeat because they keep picking up that Swanson guy. That offensive lineman, Swanson, Samsonite, whatever his name is. They keep picking up that guy, dropping and picking him back up because after they added Brandon Bolden, they cut him. Then a roster spot opened, they re-signed him. So yeah, right. I think if a decent linebacker who they want comes available, they can make that change pretty quick.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just couldn't understand all the moves they've made so far for a change have been you know, paying off, but the four quarterbacks on the roster still has me baffled. I just can't figure it out.
Yeah, man. I understand your concern, but I don't know. I'd be hard-pressed to believe they're still going to have four quarterbacks by the end of the year, but we'll see.
Yep. Thanks, man. Have a good one.
So, Solana, I haven't been keeping that close tabs on this this Jets-Lions game, but I'm being told that Sam Darnold is starting to sling it. Is he getting better as the game goes on?
Yeah, I guess that first pass was just an error that he committed, but I mean, the Jets right now actually moving the ball against the Lions have the lead 10-7.
That's our next opponent in the Meadowlands. Of course, like by the time we face him, Darnold's going to be great, right? He had to get that early pick six out of the way. That was his first pass, was a pick six. Had to get that out of the way. He's going to dominate the Lions. Then he's coming for that Dolphins ass next week. Jeez. You know, it's funny. I know a lot of devout Dolphins fans in New York, like our buddy Anthony in Long Island. A couple people in Connecticut who listen to us are big Dolphins fans. Hopefully we can get that MetLife takeover. I will guarantee you I will not be at the game, but hopefully our great Dolphin fans who either make the trip from South Florida or who live in that New Jersey, New York, Connecticut area will make the trip and take over MetLife. I hope the Dolphin fans come strong, man. But yeah, Texter wrote in, Darnold is starting to sling it. Great college quarterback. It doesn't surprise me to hear that that he is starting to sling it, man. That guy is talented. Cookie Monster, who was very optimistic on the phones, texts in, Dolphins are taking the AFC East from Cookie. It's still the Patriots division, man, for a long, long time. Ah, somebody actually got my Dumb and Dumber reference on Swanson, Samsonite. Oh, wait, why don't you check the briefcase? It's written right there. Samsonite. Oh, I wasn't even close. I knew it started with an S, though. Solana, you're a youngish guy. Are you a Dumb and Dumber fan? Was that a little bit too old, man, of a movie? I mean, it came out in, like, the mid-90s, I think. Are you a fan?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Dumb and Dumber. Nice. That's, like, one of those classic comedies, in my opinion, that everybody should watch. However, Dumb and Dumber 2.
Awful. Well, you know what? There were a couple of funny jokes in there. Couple of funny jokes in Dumb and Dumber 2.
Were they funny because they were funny, or were they funny more because you wanted Dumb and Dumber 2 to be funny?
Did you ever see the sequel that they wanted you to forget about, Dumb and Dumber-er? Do you remember that movie?
No.
Yeah, it came out, I remember it because it was the summer of 03, right after I finished high school. I saw like 100 movies because I had nothing to do between high school and college. They actually came out with a prequel, and it was one of the worst films ever made. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, there's something that directors do. Like, if you are the director of an epically bad movie, you will actually, like, take your name out of the credits because you don't want to be attached with that project. I'm pretty sure whoever directed Dumb and Dumber-er probably petitioned to the studio to have his name taken off the credits. So then, like, 15 years after that, they came out with Dumb and Dumber 2 with the original cast, and it was not good, but considerably better than Dumb and Dumber-er. 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. How about this? I think one of the most significant Miami Dolphins stats is in jeopardy for next week. I will explain what I mean next here on QAM.
Radio.com.
Hey, it's a Dolphins Monday here on WQAM. Dolphins Monday is defended by your insurance attorney, Anthony Lopez. Call 305-800-LOSS. 305-800-LOSS for insurance attorney Anthony Lopez. 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. God, I hope that this guy recovers enough to play this coming Sunday. Dolphins long snapper John Denny. Yesterday, he played in his 209th consecutive game. Longest active leader in consecutive games played in the National Football League. But John Denny, who's been a Miami Dolphin since dinosaurs roamed the earth, sustained a shoulder injury and was replaced by Durham Smythe, actually, in that game. Now, normally, the emergency long snapper is linebacker Mike Hull, but he's on injured reserve. So Denny better either rush back to keep that streak going and to keep the consistency at long snapper, or if he's not ready to play this Sunday, Dolphins will have to maybe comb that waiver wire and add a long snapper to fill in. But, you know, I got to think that John Denny will play with one arm if he has to keep that streak going. I mean, that is something special, man. Longest active games played streak in the NFL at 209. That's something you want to keep going. And it's not like the long snapper has to be, you know, the peak of fitness every single week just to go out there and play. So hopefully John Denny can at least get in good enough shape to keep that streak going, man. Oh, is there a...
I'm looking for it. Hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here because texters tend to be wrong.
Yeah, and texters tend to try and get me to say things to laugh at me. All right, so you'll know what I'm talking about if we can actually confirm this. But if we can confirm it, it would explain why we were unable to track down Ira Winderman.
Ira has not tweeted anything.
They're trying to throw me off.
Yeah. They got me. I was ready to hit the breaking news siren. Like
I was hoping you knew something because I don't. All right, so I don't think anything is breaking yet. I think the texters are trying to get me in trouble, man. Happened last week. They tried to get me to take the bait on the Amon Richards rumor, which I double checked and triple checked, and I was told it was BS. You may know what I'm talking about. 560-22 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560.
Is the Ring of Honor an actual possibility for John Denny?
I think it has to be. And it's not like John Denny is going to be something that fans remember as in, oh, you remember the dominance of John Denny. But I think you will remember the consistency of John Denny, right? I mean, to me, he's got the longest streak in Miami Dolphins history of consecutive games played. He has the longest active streak right now in consecutive games played in the National Football League. I think just to me, like the sheer consistency and service of John Denny might get him into that Ring of Honor. I mean, if you can put like offensive guards in the Ring of Honor, why can't you put the long snapper when he's had the kind of tenure that John Denny has had?
Right, but what do you think like Larry Zonka would say if you told him, yeah, we're going to put John Denny's name next to yours? Oh, he's a long snapper.
Yeah, you know, a lot of those old timers are petty, right? I mean, we're talking about the same club of curmudgeons who pop champagne every year when the final unbeaten falls. Like, I don't know. I'd like to think that Larry Zonka, if nothing else, because that's a guy who appreciates grit. And doesn't John Denny kind of seem like an old school type of player? Like John Denny, doesn't he seem like the type of guy who could have played in the 1970s and not really been out of place? So I don't know. I think Zonka might be cool at that. Somebody texts in, yes, Dono, the texters enjoy laughing at you. I knew it. I knew you guys try to bait me into stuff that isn't true. If you'd like to get in via the phone lines, 305-567-0560. Or 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell. You can get at us via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. But please do not text and drive.
So, Dono, we do have some breaking news.
Yeah?
Dwayne Wade is not coming back to Miami. However, I just spoke to Ira Winderman.
Oh, you did?
He is okay.
Okay.
He is not breaking any news.
Okay.
But he will be joining us in the next segment.
Okay, so 840, we'll talk to Ira. Yeah, I was hoping maybe... Maybe he's giving us a red herring and he will give us some sort of breaking news in 11 minutes. I don't know. I do not know. So somebody was texting in if Solana has any trash food takes. You threw something at me before the show that I do want to get the pulse of the listener on this. Because I, surprisingly enough, I have a very strong opinion on this, right? You kind of threw this at me thinking, oh, maybe this is something Dono's never thought about before. I kid you not, Solana, I have had an argument with my wife about this. And we don't argue about much, right? Never been any issues in my house with infidelity. We've never, like, argued over, like, financial stuff the way that a lot of couples do. Never argued over, like, parenting philosophies, at least not yet. But one thing we have argued about is this. Do you, and be honest, Solana and the texters, do you eat mac and cheese with a spoon or a fork? I don't have to pause on that for a second. I'm a grown man. I eat it with a fork. A fork. The only foods that I eat with a spoon are as follows. Soup. Ice cream, assuming it's not in a cone. If it's in a cup, ice cream with a spoon. And cereal. Cereal with milk. I can't think of another damn thing that I eat with a spoon.
Well, mac and cheese should be up there first and foremost. What about rice? What about rice?
I eat rice with a fork. I'm a grown man. It's not that difficult.
You have a bowl of rice. Throw a little, maybe some bananas in there. Cutler Ridge Labs knows what I'm talking about.
Put bananas in rice?
Yeah. Maybe some ketchup.
Oh, my God. I can see why Tito says you have terrible food takes. You put ketchup on rice? That's worse than bananas in rice.
What about ketchups on eggs?
No, I don't do that either.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I would do that before I would put it on rice. That's 100% certain.
Ketchup on, like, some scrambled eggs? It's fire, man.
No, man. I do put hot sauce on eggs sometimes.
Oh, that's good, too. That's
hot
good.
Hot sauce, you know, throw a little salt and pepper on there.
But, yeah, mac and cheese, got to eat it with a spoon. Like, you have to.
No, you don't.
It's an essential part of the eating experience of macaroni and cheese.
No, it's not like, unless you're eating trash mac and cheese, it's not liquid to the point where it necessitates a spoon. Like, it's sticky enough. You can eat it with a fork, no problem. I've done it 1,000 times, no problem. Rice, same deal. You can eat rice with, in fact, I've eaten rice with chopsticks before because I'm cultured. If you get sticky enough rice, you don't even need a utensil.
Oh, but that's not fair. You've been to Japan. Like, yeah. Come on. I've never been to an Asian country, so I just don't have that experience.
They eat ramen with chopsticks over there. I mean, you actually, it's kind of fun because you can be rude and it's not rude there. So you, like, the noodles out of the ramen, you pull it out with chopsticks, and then you can actually pick up the bowl and slurp it. That's acceptable over there.
Which is why you have to eat mac and cheese with the spoon, Donald, because you're not just slurping
that leftover
cheese, the creamy cheese, so good, so delicious at the bottom of the bowl. Because, I mean, it's just not as, I guess, not, I wouldn't say polite, but you just look like a pig. But if you're eating mac and cheese with a spoon, you don't have that problem because the juices of the mac and cheese, the creamy cheese, is not just slipping down under the fork.
No.
It's sitting right there under the mac and cheese in the spoon. Hey, just drink it.
You're completely wrong on this. Unless you're eating, like, really trash, overly liquid mac. Like, you realize you're only supposed to put a quarter cup of milk in the mac and cheese when you make the. It sounds like you're drowning it in liquid.
Oh, yeah, okay. I throw a gallon in there.
Here's some of the texts. All caps. Fork. If you eat mac and cheese with a spoon, you're probably a serial killer, somebody writes. I would look into that, by the way. Oh, but okay. So this is fair. Here are a couple of other foods that I would eat with a spoon. Yes. So this adds to my list. The only foods I would eat with a spoon, I already mentioned a few of them. Soup, of course. Ice cream, assuming you're not just licking it out of a cone. If it's in a cup, you eat it with a spoon, of course. Cereal with milk. And to be fair, Texter writes in yogurt. Yeah, you got to eat yogurt with a spoon. You can't eat with a fork. Chili. Yeah, I think chili you would eat with a spoon. That's liquid enough. You cannot eat that with a fork. Not possible.
Is chili soup?
It's a gray area. It is. Like, chili is somewhere between soup and stew. I would say it's more of a stew than a soup. But yeah, I would eat that with a spoon also. OMG, WTF, ketchup is disgusting, somebody writes. I think ketchup in context is okay. Can eat ketchup on French fries. Not saying it's my first choice of sauce, right? Like, I would actually dip French fries in blue cheese or ranch.
Oh, no shot, Dono. No shot.
I like it, man. I mean, I could dip anything in blue cheese.
I mean, no, I would dip it in blue cheese and ranch, but over ketchup?
Over ketchup, yeah.
No shot.
Yeah. I mean, ketchup is okay on French fries. I'll take it. And I'm not opposed to ketchup on a burger. I'm not. Like, some people are dead set against that. And I'll give you a controversial take, Solana. I don't know where you fall on this. Because there are many people out there who say you absolutely cannot, under any circumstance, put ketchup on a hot dog. But I'm okay with it. I will allow it, right? I am 50-50 between ketchup and mustard on a hot dog. Depends on what kind of a mood I'm in. And there are times at home, like 4th of July barbecue, I'll have two hot dogs, one of them with ketchup, one of them with mustard. It's the yin and the yang for me. That's what keeps my universe in balance, is ketchup and mustard. Man, Sam Darnold is not so terrible. Neither are the New York Jets. We're in for a game next week. How about mashed potatoes, a text writes. That can also be eaten with a fork. Seriously. Because you think about it. If you have mashed potatoes, meat, veggies on the same plate, I use the same utensil to eat all of those things, right? If I have a plate with like with meat, green beans, mashed potatoes, I am using a fork to eat all three of those things. What just happened in this game?
Stafford almost threw a, I wouldn't say bomb, but like a 50-yard touchdown, diving touchdown, and I don't know who that is. He dropped it, though.
Ryan Tannehill would have put that right on the money. Would have been no issue whatsoever. Solana, you just made me throw up in my mouth hearing you talk about mac and cheese juice.
Oh, it's so good.
What kind of a mac and cheese are you eating that you would use the word juice to describe the cheese part? Like, way too liquid, man. I want to know what utensil Ira Winterman uses to eat his mac and cheese. We'll get the answer to that question and so many more next year on QAM. Radio.com. And Ira Winterman is going to join us here, and boy, do we have a lot to unpack from this past segment. So, Alex Solana revealed that he eats mac and cheese with a spoon. I think anybody over five would transition into a fork for that. He puts ketchup and or bananas on rice, among other things. And now we've got people texting in. I'm so glad you actually want to know my answer to these questions, but cake, spoon, or fork? Fork. Fork for cake. You don't need a spoon for that. A cake is solid. This one's really easy. Baked potato, fork, or spoon? A fork. Who eats a baked potato with a spoon? Cookie Monster texted in, I eat pie with a spoon. Nah, I eat pie with a fork. Ira Winterman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us. Ira is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, if you have a plate of mac and cheese in front of you, do you eat that with a spoon or a fork?
Almost everything you said, Dono, is fork food, simply because I'm older than five.
Right, thank you.
A spoon is the kind of thing you give your kid at the little, you know, little table there for the kids where they're in the high chair and it's easier to scoop stuff up. And then, look, everything, especially manly, you want the prongs, you want a weapon, you want to weaponize your meals. That's what a fork does. A fork is like playing offense on food. You're, like you said in your example, you're attacking the baked potato.
Yeah.
You're going in for the kill. You're performing surgery. The spoon is like defense. Oh, my mac cheese sauce is gonna fall between the fork. It's clearly the difference that now we know that Solana is more of a defensive eater.
He is.
I can understand that. Also, when you use the spoon, it's less likely something gets on your bib. Otherwise, to me, a fork, five and above, you go fork. Matter of fact, anything where there's a question, fork or spoon, I believe it's a real man's going to go to fork anyway because you have a weapon and a utensil.
Yeah, like people, based on what has been texted in, the only things I can think of that I would use a spoon for, oatmeal, somebody did text that in. Although, you know, if the oatmeal's thick enough, you could consider a fork, but overall spoon for that. Cereal and milk is spoon food. Pudding. Yogurt, that's spoon food. Soup, obviously, spoon food. But outside of that, Ira, I don't think you have a leg to stand
there's
on.
Actually one that people have debated for years, and I'll let Solana get back in on this so he can recover here. And I think this is the ultimate fork-spoon debate point. This is not me. I've seen this before. Ice cream cake.
Ooh.
See, now you're thinking. I've gotten you to pause.
Oh, it's a fork.
Oh, so you're going fork on that one?
Now you're coming back. That, to me, is a debate point. Because as the ice cream cake is one of the rare foods that you eat while it melts. So at some point of the ice cream cake experience, a fork's not going to cut it anymore.
Yeah, I'd go spoon for that now that I think about
that's
it.
That's what I think. I think a melting food is a little bit different. I've been studying this for years. I've been checking the responses. I'm looking right now at my Twitter analytics. I think that's when you have to go spoon, or else you might only get half your meal. I mean, Solana, you're going fork there. I understand. What happens halfway through your ice cream cake when the ice cream is all of a sudden melted on the bottom of the plate? What's your fork going to do for you there?
You turn that plate into the same way you'd eat cereal, and you just just take down the melted ice cream, Ira.
You slurp it down. That's fine. If you want to turn your plate into a bowl, that's fine. You know, or maybe we'll get you a sippy cup. So I totally understand that. But to me, ice cream cake is the ultimate question there.
You know, Ira, when it took us a little while to track you down, I thought maybe there might be some Dwayne Wade news breaking. Unfortunately, that's not the case.
And
but
you know what? And I really expected that to happen in lockstep. I said, okay. Yeah. They're going to announce, or we're going to find out about UD last week. They made it official. They always like to get him in the office today. He signs a contract. It looks good. They put out some nice video on it. I understood. Then there would be part B. And even now, in the last few minutes, Dwayne Wade has sent out a tweet saying, congratulations, no one's been more selfless than I've ever met. You know, 16 years and nothing from Dwayne. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, so I'm not going to overstate it, but to me, it's really awkward. We are now 2 weeks before the start of camp. Camp starts tomorrow, 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's not a good look that if a player is either one really weighing back and forth whether he wants to play or not, not that I'm sure that's the case, then you kind of wonder, well, I've got so many young, hungry players.
Yeah.
Is that the way I want it to look, number one? Number two, if it's a matter of not offering the mid-level exception, which, again, I am not sure, it's not a good look for management. Like, wait a minute. You are still on September 10th negotiating with the all-time greatest player in the history of your franchise? I mean, just last week I heard Pat Riley was texting Dwayne. Really? Are we back at texting and doing something like that? So I do find this odd. I'm sure no matter how it plays out, they'll say, no, this is the way we wanted to. When you played 15 years, you have the right to wait. UD did anyway. But you're right, Dono. It's a very awkward look right now. And yes, I really kind of thought I'd be done with this story. That one day I could say, okay, I now have 20 players in camp, the maximum. They have 19 now. Now I could take a break and get ready for camp and enjoy some football. And literally every day I'm still checking my Twitter or my Instagram to see what's up with Dwayne.
Is it now becoming a possibility, or maybe even a remote possibility, that the same sort of awkwardness that came out two summers ago could become an issue again between Wade, Riley, and Mickey?
It seems that way. It seems to me that even if everyone says, no, everything is solved, it's not an issue, I don't know if I'll be buying. I want to see more into the season, how it plays out right now, because it seems a bit odd. And here's the other part of the equation, Dono, and this is real. I don't know if Deion Waiters is going to be ready for the start of the season.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because he posted on Instagram, once I'm cleared from the dock, it's on. But when is he cleared from the dock? When is it on?
And you know what usually happens? I, of course, went to the Heat. I said, hey, is there anything to this? Didn't hear back in a couple of days, so I wrote off of what I had. Usually when I do something like that, I will hear from someone either privately or otherwise, hey, don't worry about it. It's taken care of. That's BS. You're overstating the story. I've heard nothing about it. I've heard nothing like, hey, hold off, Ira. In a week, you're going to find out it's cleared and that's it. I'm not so sure he's going to be the opening night starting shooting guard, which I think, Donna, we all thought was a given.
Yeah.
I've been telling people my sort of givens in the Heat starting lineup were going to be Goran Dragic, Hassan Whiteside, and Deion Waiters. That those three are your starters who start the small forward, who start the power forward, how they move it around, that part I didn't know. Now I wonder about Deion. And if he's not, you sort of need Dwayne more than ever because he sort of was the Deion Waiters fill-in to get them to the playoffs and have their lone playoff victory last season.
Well, I got to tell you, another one of those names you mentioned, I wonder at least a little bit about Goran Dragic, Ira. Devin Booker out 6 weeks with a hand fracture. Could that add some incentive for the Suns to want to reacquire a familiar face in Goran Dragic?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I wrote that for my Sunday column at sunsentinel.com. And one of the things I wrote why it's less likely is this. The Suns aren't going anywhere this season anyway. Even before this Devin Booker injury, which might not cost them any regular season time, I would find it hard to believe, I know you don't got much time left for your show, but for you to line up the teams in the West and find any possible way that the Phoenix Suns make the playoffs.
No.
With a Goran Dragic, without a Goran Dragic. With a healthy Devin Booker, with less than healthy. There's too much there. We're debating right now whether the Lakers with LeBron are going to make the playoffs. So I think when you look at it that way, you have to sort of step back and say, if Phoenix, why would they give up anything tangible to get a starting older quarterback who has 1 year and an option left? And you know what? if they trade for Goran, he may opt out of that final year because of the way they treated him the first time around, or simply because he wants to finish career in a playoff contender. So I know there's been the noise. There's been talk out of Phoenix. They said that Goran's been available, and maybe he is. That part I'm not debating. But it doesn't seem to make sense for the Suns to give up anything tangible. That said, Dono, if they were offering a quality first-round pick, not someone else's in the 20s,
right,
but a potential lottery pick, if I'm the Heat, I think I'd step back and consider it.
Me too. Absolutely. We're joined here by Ira Winterman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You know, Ira, I hadn't asked you about this on that the former Kings executive who joined the Heat, Jeffrey David, who he was accused of embezzling millions from the Sacramento Kings. Have there been any criminal charges filed, and what's the latest on that story? Is he still on leave with the Heat?
No, I wrote the story last week. He's out. The Heat announced that he is no longer a member of our team. So clearly there are bigger issues there than trying to get started in a new job. He is not with the Heat anymore. The FBI, they're still under investigation. There's a whole web there. Usually it's a matter of finding people willing to either come in, make a plea or something like that. But, you know, the good thing for me, and I always say this, it's not a Heat story anymore. And for that, I'm glad. Because in recent years, with the Gerald Green story, for example, and after that with Willie Reed, it always seems on the cusp of a season. I can remember in September when all of a sudden Michael Beasley is sending out Instagrams with really curious things in the background and what happens after that. So I would very much like Dwayne Wade to sign. The Heat will be the offseason limit of 20 players. Then, you know, in media day, 2 weeks from today, you can go in, you know what you have, and you move forward. For as quiet an offseason as it's been for the Heat, the last thing I need is any of those sort of dramatics over these next 2 weeks.
Ira, you have watched, covered, attended, been a part of some remarkable and historic and odd sporting events during your time covering South Florida sports. Where does a 7-hour, 8-minute-long regular season NFL game, I imagine you were watching at least some of that yesterday, rank with you?
It was just a bizarre day because I always try to claim part of my day. And the good thing is I went out on my bike early, got 20 miles in, came back, started watching the Dolphins and said, okay, I'm now willing to commit the next 3 hours. It was important. I'm going to be filling in for Joe a couple of days this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I had to see the game. They're done Tuesday and Wednesday. So I got to get to bed soon. So I was watching the game, getting ready. And then I'm going to be honest with you. And I even tweeted this. After this, in the second delay when it got that long, this is a league that talks about concussions, about player safety and player health. It can't be that healthy for an NFL player to stop, start, to stretch, unstretch, restretch, to eat, to not know when to eat, to go back in. Dave Hyde had a wonderful column on it today, the Sun Sentinel, where they're running out of food and their peanut butter and jelly and turkey sandwiches to the point where they're eating the post-game meal during the game before it, you know, resumes for the second time.
You know, I find that funny because there was plenty of extra food in the press box. We were eating like kings, Ira.
Yeah, well, someone was eating good. Even in Shea Winderman over here, we were trying to figure out how to call out for more food. So supplies were running low. We almost went into the dreaded hurricane supplies. That's how long the wait was. But, I mean, and that's the thing. So the NFL talks about player safety. It can't be in the player's best interest to have two lengthy breaks like that and still go out and play football. Here's the question, though, I had, and I put this on Twitter, and I almost want to talk to Kevin Rogers or someone about it. If you play daily fantasy and they suspended the Dolphins game to a later date, maybe even to Monday or maybe to some other point on a Wednesday during the season, since there weren't that many minutes, what happens to your daily fantasy game? Are you just out of luck because your game only
went,
you know, 35 minutes? Do they tell everyone who bet the daily fantasy game, which is just one day, that no, you have to wait until this game is resumed? So I'm kind of curious. I think it opened a real can of worms also.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I imagine that that is unprecedented, that that has never happened before in daily fantasy. And I don't know what would be fair. And even if it is fair to wait until the game is played, how do you literally do that? I think that is a tremendous question.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand if you bet on the game, the books or whatever, more sports betting will say, when the game is over, we will pay off or not pay off. I can understand that. Hockman was talking to me about a bunch of propositions, Ryan Tannehill's yardage, Kenyon Drake's yardage, you know, on a game-by-game basis they offer. Fine, you wait till the game is over and go from there. But otherwise, on the daily fantasy, when you're supposed to be able to play today and cash in tonight, that to me is when it gets awfully interesting also. It was crazy, including to the point where all of a sudden the game went off TV. And all of a sudden, yeah, at 8 o'clock, I'm watching there, and wow, Fox has a new comedy show. I don't care. So I thought that was interesting, and the way it popped back on. No, I can't recall anything being as odd as that. The one exception I'll give you would be this. The air conditioning going out during the NBA Finals
in San Antonio
in 2014, only because the sense was when we were sitting at San Antonio, well, it's got to go back on soon. And then it's 10 minutes and 20 minutes and 30 minutes and a quarter and a half. And you're realizing this isn't stopping. And you're watching everyone just like fanning themselves and perspiring and almost being trapped in AT&T Arena.
Yeah, and then maybe if the guy who wore number 6 was in a little bit better condition, yeah, we wouldn't have had those issues late in that game.
Oh, don't kid yourself. You think back to that, the Heat would have been up 2-0 in that series, yeah, coming home, and the world would be a different place as we know it right now.
If that guy only knew how to stretch back in those days. He is Ira Winderman, covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, does a damn fine job, also on this radio station. So tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, you're in for Joe?
Chris Whittingham and myself will be filling in for Joe and Zach. They deserve some time off, so we will be there. And I will leave you with this final thought of, when in doubt, put a fork in it.
Love it. See, that was strong. And Ira and I, we agree on a lot of things. Forks being no exception to that. If you're over 5, you don't need a spoon for mac and cheese or for rice. Like, we're grown men, Solana. Grown men. There are a handful of foods it's acceptable and expected to eat with a spoon. Soup. Ice cream. Ice cream cake, I'll even give you. Chili. But mac and cheese ain't one of those. It's not. You got no leg to stand on here. And man, Tito Banach is trashing you for your food takes on Twitter. I do agree with some of your pizza takes, though. And you see, like, I always have to troll Filero, because, like, Filero's got the taste in pizza of a 5-year-old kid, right? Like, he probably still, like, goes to Chuck E. Cheese just to pick up a pizza, that guy. I'll show him a picture of what looks like an exquisite Neapolitan pizza. And he'll tweet back, oh, it looks like trash. Looks terrible. At least I know, Solana, you appreciate a good pizza because you know how important a crust is to make a pizza great.
It's the most vital part of the pizza, Donovan.
Now, do you consider the crust to only be the outside part? I consider the entire bready part. That includes the underneath. I consider that all to be the crust.
I don't know if I'd consider all that to be the crust. However, I'm with you here. The bread portion of the pizza.
It's vital.
It's the most important part of the pizza.
That's a tough one for me because I think you can make an argument that every part is as important as the last, right?
Come on, Donald. Just come full circle here with me, man. Just do it. Just buy into this crust thing because...
You may be right because you can have less than exquisite sauce and still have a really good pizza if the crust is on point, right? I prefer like a really high quality buffalo mozzarella on the pizza, but even if you have like mid-grade cheese, can still be a good pizza if the crust is great. I, to be fair, I think you may be onto something there.
If you bite into a pizza and the ingredients and the sauce, the cheese are really good, but then the crust is subpar, typically the crust is the last thing you eat and it's not good, you're not going to think of that pizza as being a good pizza because the last part of the pizza you ate was not good. However, if that's the best crust you've ever had and it's the last thing you're eating, you're going to be like, oh, wow, that pizza was amazing.
I'll tell you, as a proud Italian-American, and one of my favorite Twitter accounts, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's like Italians offended or like Italians talking about food or something, how they get very offended by what Americans do to their dishes. But a clear way to just make me bury my face in my hands are if you offer me like one of those like French bread pizzas or like a bagel pizza, like it's not pizza. 9 o'clock hour coming up. We'll have clickbait in the night. I know I said clickbait was going to be in the 8 o'clock hour, but since Ira Winderman moved to the 8 o'clock hour, threw off our entire program. We're completely thrown off. And wow, a texter writes in, Wade, retire. Oh, please no. The Alex Donner Show continues next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.